Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here with you again this morning. Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 15, and verses 11 to 24. This will be found on page 990 in the Pew Bible and is entitled The Parable of the Lost Son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole of that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." What is God really like? What kind of God do you believe in? There are many different religions in the world that present various pictures of God. They all may contain a modicum of truth. You can believe in God, but if you have a false conception of God, you are no better off than somebody who doesn't believe in him at all. What is God really like? Is he the God of the Muslim terrorist? Does he want all us infidels killed? No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that people of the true Muslim faith believe in a God like that. Hinduism teaches that there are a number of gods and goddesses, but the greatest God is Brahman, the impersonal but all-pervasive life force in every person. Then there are the New Agers, who teach that God is the life force in everything. And that's why they hug trees and talk to stones and they feel the vibes in crystals. Is that what God is like? Is he the God of the terrorist? Is he Brahmin? Or is he the good side of the force in the Star Wars movie? Well, Jesus Christ came to earth to show us exactly what God was like. In Luke 15, as we heard read here this morning, it says at the beginning of that reading, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. At this point, Jesus shares three stories that paint a portrait of the character and nature of God: the lost sheep, the lost coin. But I want to concentrate on the story of the lost son. This is often called the parable of the prodigal son. The key figure in the parable is the father. You could call it the parable of the good father, really. Jesus is teaching us that our God is like the father in this story. The wonder and beauty of his character can be easily seen in this parable. We can learn three important things about God and the God we worship. First of all, our God is a God who regrets our rebellion. In the story, the younger son demands his inheritance, although his father is still alive. According to Jewish law, a father who had two sons was to divide his estate so that 2/3 of his estate goes to his older son and 1/3 to his younger son. The youngest son had come to his father and said, "I don't want to wait, give it to me now." The father was wounded by his harsh demand, but he granted it. He probably had to sell some of his land or livestock so as to liquidate other assets. And he eventually comes up with 1/3 of his net worth and hands it to his younger son. The son immediately takes the money and walks out of his father's life. Here is a perfect example of a rebellious and disrespectful child. We can be sure that the father's heart was broken. Mine would if my son left home. I think the father shed many tears over his son's foolish behaviour. Clearly, the father in this parable represents God. He is a loving father who will let you walk away from fellowship with him if you want to. But it breaks his heart when you do. Who does the prodigal son represent? Some say he represents a person who has never been saved. But maybe the younger son represents those of us who already have a relationship with God. He is our father and we are his children. There's a very important principle that we must understand here. You cannot sever your relationship with God, but you can certainly break fellowship with him. The whole time the prodigal son was away, he was still a son, but he had left the presence and favour of his father. Christians can do that too. Once you become a Christian, God establishes a love relationship with you. He is your father, and nothing can ever change that. But if you choose to rebel and disobey, he'll allow it. He will never leave you. But if you walk out of fellowship with him, he will let you go. "I love you, so you're free to go." The God of creation has a message for you today. He is saying to you, "I love you, so you are free to go, if you so wish." He won't stop you. He doesn't force loyalty from you. He wants you to freely love and serve him. Many years ago, I knew a man who at one time was a committed Christian. And I have no doubt he was a child of God. But a few years ago, he got messed up in a relationship which led to adultery. He lost his family and everything. He is miserable today, even bitter towards God. And he said to me one day, And I thought this was quite interesting. He said, if it was so wrong, why didn't he stop me? It was almost as if he was blaming God. Doesn't God have all the power? Couldn't he have warned the guy? Well, yes, he could have, but he didn't. God didn't stop that man for the same reason he didn't stop Adam and Eve from eating the fruit. God didn't stop it for the same reason he didn't stop King David from having sex with Bathsheba. God didn't stop it for the same reason the father in this parable didn't fling himself across the door and say, no, 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 you can't leave, you can't leave. That's not the nature of God. He loves you so much, he allows you to make your own choices, right or wrong. Just as the father grieved because his son walked out, even so, God the Father grieves when one of his children walk out of fellowship with him. Some of you are perhaps parents or grandparents of prodigals. You know what it's like to have grown children who are alienated from you. And it hurts. When they are little, you can discipline them. But now you only feel the pain. God hurts even more. Why? Because the greater the capacity to love, the greater the capacity is to be hurt. And God's love is stronger than any human love. His pain is greater too. So let's learn about the second truth about the nature of God, the God that we worship. He is a God who runs to you when you return. The wayward son didn't fare too well in the far country. He lived a high life for a while, but then he found himself out of funds. Jesus uses six words in verse 13 to describe what happened. Squandered his wealth in wild living. There's a lot that can be read into those words. He ended up in a pig pen, slopping out the pigs. Jesus said, he came to his senses and realized a servant in his father's house had it better than he did. All of his father's farmhands got 3 meals a day, and he was chewing on corn cobs, the same corn cobs that the pigs were eating. He finally reached the point of total desperation. So he swallowed his pride and started the long journey back home. How does the Father receive him? The Pharisees and tax collectors were thinking to themselves, oh, we've heard this story before. One day the Father saw his son returning. He waited with his arms crossed. The broken down son begged his father to take him back. But the father looked away from him and said, forget it. You've had your chance. You chose to live like a pig. Now go back to your pigs. In the Pharisee's story, the father turned his son away and told him he was getting exactly what he deserved. It was a story reflecting the Old Testament law. The Old Testament said that a father could have a rebellious son stoned to death. You'll find the passage in Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21. And it says this. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey, his father and mother shall bring him to the elders and say, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and drunkard. Then all of the men shall stone him to death. That was the way the Pharisees expected the father in the story to treat his son. That would have been the normal ending to the story. But Jesus turns the story round. Now picture the father in the parable. His heart was broken when his son left. Every day while he was gone, at sundown he would take a walk to the edge of his property and stand and look down the road where his son had left. He was looking, longing, and hoping that his son would return. Then one afternoon, he sees a figure along the road. It can't be his son, though, because his son always had a spring in his step and held his head high. This character was dressed in rags. But as he continued to look, there was something familiar about that figure. And in a flash, the father realized it was his son. He jumped the fence and sprinted out to meet his son. And verse 20 it says, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Then it says he was filled with compassion and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Let's go back to a bit of Jewish tradition. The men wore long robes. For a man to run, he had to lift his robes up to avoid tripping over them. So by doing that, he would bare his legs, which was highly undignified. Men of respect never ran. It would have been embarrassing. But can't you see this father grabbing handfuls of robe and running towards his son? He didn't wait for his son to reach him. He ran to meet the son. He hugs his rebellious son before the son had said one word. Remember, the son had been working in pig pens. He looked and smelt pretty awful. But the father accepted him just as he was. And God the Father, the creator of the universe, will welcome you in exactly the same way, just as you are. This is a revolutionary portrayal of God. Jesus said, God runs to meet us when we decide to return to him. Right now, do you sense God is far away from you? God doesn't walk away from you when you sin. You walk away from him. But God is a loving Heavenly Father who is longing for you to return. He is looking for you to return to him. He has a message for you today. With tender words of compassion, he is saying to you, when you start home, I will meet you more than halfway. What is God like? Some people see him as some mean ogre who sits on a mysterious throne watching you, just waiting for you to make a mistake so that he can grab you and say, ah, got you. That's not the God Jesus described. Instead, he is a loving, compassionate God who deeply cares about all of his children. As I said, it's not enough to simply believe in God. You must believe in the God of the Bible. But the good news of God, of the God of the Bible, is he is full of love and mercy. I like the way that Charles Spurgeon describes this scene, and he wrote it like this. It was not with icy eyes that the father looked on his returning son. Love filled his heart as he beheld him. There was no anger in his heart towards his son. It was true, it was all his own fault. But that did not come before his father's mind. It was the state that he was in, his poverty, his degradation, that pale face of his, so drained with hunger. That touched his father to the quick. We read that the father ran. The compassion of God is followed by swift movements. He is slow to anger, but he is quick to bless. God comes flying in the greatness of his compassion to help every poor soul that returns to him. That's what God is really like. So we worship a God who regrets our rebellion and runs to us when we return. Finally, we worship a God who restores us when we repent. When he finally came to his senses in the pig pen, the son rehearsed the speech that he was going to give to his father. He said three things in verse 21. I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against you, my father. And will you forgive me? The first thing he said was, I have sinned against heaven. That was right primarily. All sin is against God. So he had confessed his sin to God. Secondly, he confessed to his father, I have sinned against you. Right again. One of the hardest things that for any of us is to say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? That's what he was saying. But let's look at that third statement when he said, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That may sound good on the surface, but there is a mistake in his thinking. He never was worthy to be called a son of his father. And in the same way, none of us are ever worthy to be called children of God. It is all by grace. You see, even when the son was in the far country, the relationship was still intact. It was the fellowship that was broken. Immediately, the father commanded his servants to bring the best robe. He took it and placed it around his son, covering all of the filth and dirt of his mistakes. And that's a picture, really, of how God covers our sin with a robe of righteousness. Sons often wore family rings that had a seal engraved on them. Stamping the ring into wax was like a signature. The son probably left with a ring but had pawned it long ago. But the father put a new ring on his finger, symbolising his full status in the family. Slaves don't wear shoes, but sons do. So the father had sandals put on his son's feet. The father restored everything that the son had lost. And here's the bonus. The father commanded that the fattened calf should be killed so they could have a real celebration on the return of his son. Everything the son had left home looking for, he found back at his father's house. The father's love for his wayward son had never changed, but the son came back a changed man. And he would forever carry the scars and the regrets of his sinful behaviour. Remember those words, I'll treat you as if you never left. Have you wandered away from God? Are you willing to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you? Are you willing to return to him? If you are, he has a message for you. He is saying, I'll treat you as if you never left. If you need forgiveness today, Jesus offers it. If we glance again at verse 1 in this chapter to see the audience to whom Jesus was speaking, it says, some were Pharisees who thought they were sinless. They didn't need forgiveness. But there were tax collectors and other sinners there as well. Jesus was saying to them, God is like the Father who will welcome you lovingly and forgive you when you come to him and repent. I hope that this morning I have painted a picture of what God is like. He is a God who regrets your rebellion, who runs to you when you return, and who restores you when you repent. Let us pray. Lord, we hear and we do not understand. We see but we do not perceive. Sharpen our memory, Lord. Unlock our grief. Teach us to name what is evil and refuse it, even when it seems normal and when it seems necessary. Then, now, and always. Amen. The love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.